Reading from 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 12. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled. When they met him, they asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's Eliab, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, and Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Now I'm going to read 1 Samuel 17. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will expect his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Palestine and removes his disgrace from Israel? Who is uncircumcised Palestine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him as speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep with? In the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You come down only to watch the battle."
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Johnny.
Thanks. John gave her a long one. Good job, Lise. All right. I just want to say thank you to Jerry last week. Great sermon. Christian's not here, but I know the elders, we consider it a privilege to be able to just kind of fill the gap until we can get the pulpit filled full time, hopefully soon. With that, it's a pleasure. I never got to introduce my natural dad because he just kind of did the show anyhow. But I do get to introduce my father-in-law, and I appreciate that honor. So with that, John. You got
Good morning. What a blessing. Now, for those of you who are new in the church, this is not usually what stands in front of the church, all right, and preaches, all right? Got a disclaimer here. But it's also proof that God's word is true, because he said he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Okay? With that, I'd like to ask our Heavenly Father for his blessing on this time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. You don't use the wise things. You don't use the big things. You use little things, Father, in our lives. And so, Father, I just pray that you bless now. You gave me this, Lord. There's something you want me to say this morning. I just pray for the heart to say it, Father, and for hearts to hear it. Because it's not because I'm saying it, God, but you gave me this message, and it's something you want to be known. So I ask you, Lord God, help me to the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Okay, now that long reading that Lisa so kindly did, there's a reason for that. Saul, we're going to talk about Israel back in the day before in the days of the judges, okay? The days of the judges. What happened was Israel was just kind of hanging out there, and they were doing good, and they'd mess up, and then God would send somebody along, a judge, who would say, come on, guys, this is not how we're supposed to do this thing. And so at the time of this happening here, Samuel was the judge. The king was Saul. He was the first king of Israel. He was, the Bible says, he was heads and shoulders above all the other men of Israel. So that when there was a crowd, you could tell Saul was there because he stood far above the rest. And he gave the appearance of one of great, and he was. He was a mighty, valiant warrior. He led Israel to many victories. And there was a lot to be said for Saul. But one thing that was not to be said for Saul was he did not obey the Lord. His heart was not right with God. And so at one moment, Samuel went to him, and he went before Samuel was going to leave. Saul grabbed his robe on the hem, and he tore it. And Samuel, who was the judge, looked at Saul and he says, as you have torn my robe, the Lord has torn your kingdom from your hands, and you will no longer be king in this place. So God had a plan going on. God always has a plan. Amen. Even in our lives, we say, man, I really dropped the ball. God has a plan. God's always working for us. He loves us. Amen. Felt the same in Israel. Israel was his people. That was his nation. So he said to Samuel, and this is where Lisa started reading. He said to Samuel, look, I got a job for you. Fill your flask off. That was the first hint that God was going to do something big. When that horn came out and got filled with oil, that meant somebody was getting anointed. And nobody was getting anointed until God picked the person to be anointed and until he moved on the judge to anoint. So what happened was God said, I have a man that you're going to anoint as king, even though it's not time yet for him to be king. And Samuel, who knew Saul very well, he anointed him, right? He said, God, we got a little problem here. You know, you want a new king, but we still got the old king. And when he finds out what's going down, somebody's head's going to roll. And God said, okay, take a heifer. That's like a lady cow, young lady cow. He said, take the heifer, Samuel. Go to Bethlehem and say that I've come here to sacrifice. And while you're there, invite Jesse. Now there's the first hint of where God was going with this thing. He says, invite Jesse, He said, because Jesse has somebody there that I want you to see. So Samuel comes. Now, Samuel wasn't any slouch. Did you remember when Lisa was reading? It made me. I started to laugh. I said, this guy wasn't no joke. The judge, when he came to that town, the men were trembling. And what was their question? Did you come in peace? Samuel, is somebody going to get hurt before this day is over? Samuel said, no, I came in peace. It's all cool, guys. We're going to have a sacrifice. And matter of fact, who here knows Jesse? Tell Jesse to come to the sacrifice. So he lays out this big deal. And they're going to sacrifice this heifer that he brought into town with him. And so Samuel looks at Jesse. He says, you got any sons? Jesse goes, yeah, I got 8 of them. He says, bring them on out here. He says, we want to take a look. So when Samuel saw Eliab, thank you for that good pronunciation there, Lee. When Samuel saw Eliab, the oldest son, he says, this is the guy. This is the one. Yeah, God, way to go. And God, nah, Samuel, forget it. You haven't learned the lesson yet. Saul was heads and shoulders above everybody, and he failed out of school real quick. Don't judge by the outside. God looks at the heart.
Hallelujah.
All right? Thank God that's why we're here. God don't judge us from the outside, right? He looks at our heart. And when we're wrong, he'll say, I'll change your heart. Don't worry about that. He works with us. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, so Samuel goes through all the rest. 7, remember? He had 8 kids. Samuel goes through 7 of them, and that's the end of the line. So he's going like, wait a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wait a second. Jesse, don't you have another one? And Jesse goes, ugh. Yeah. He goes, he's the youngest, but he's just a shepherd boy. He's out in the field taking care of. And Samuel goes, oh, time out, folks. Bring him in here. We do not sit down to eat till your youngest gets here, till David. What's his name? David? David. Till David gets here. Now, if that was me, I'd be like, David, you better run fast, bro. This is smelling good, man. You better make a move here. Anyway, David comes. David comes. And God says, that's the one, Samuel. That's the one. Now, there was a second part that Lisa read this morning. And that was out of 1 Kings, what's that, baby?
1 Samuel.
Thank you. My mind's fried. Okay. 1 Samuel 17. And what's happening? Okay. Now, we already set up the fact that there was a big feast, a sacrifice, and a new king was anointed. But there was no celebration yet. There was no celebration. Because you see, all this anointing and everything was done on the down low. Done on the down low. Nobody knew anything. Basically, Jesse, his kids, and Samuel. That was all. There was no huge celebration. They, as I understand from reading other places, they used to blow a huge ram's horn and they announced, hey, we have a new king. They didn't do none of that. Because there was still a king in place. God was setting up for the next as his will moves on, okay? So, now, that was scene one. Round one. Frankie, where are you at? Round one, Frank. Round one. Round two, okay? Frankie says, John, set it up like a boxing match. That way you keep it in order. So that was round one. Round two, yeah, Frank, yeah. I threw you under the bus, brother. Round two. David, who has been anointed. Tim, could you please tell me if I... Okay. David, who has been anointed, has been going back and forth between the palace, serving Saul, and taking care of his father's sheep. And his father says to him, David, look, the Philistine army and the Israeli army were meeting for a big, huge fight. They were both spoiling for a fight. So Dave, Jesse says to David, David, go down and check on your brothers. His 3 oldest brothers were in Saul's army. So David goes down and he looks. And this guy, I wanted to mark it on here, but I couldn't. This guy was 9 feet
tall.
9 feet tall. When he put on his armor, just the armor that he put on his chest, like the breastplate, was 126 pounds. This cat was huge. He had a spear the size of a weaver beam. I can't begin to describe it, but it weighed 15 pounds. Just a spear. 15 pounds. Can you imagine throwing that thing? Anyway, he would come out in the morning, and he would challenge the Israeli army. He'd say, hey, no problem. You don't have to fight. You don't want to fight? Don't fight. Pick out one guy. Send him over here. Me and him will fight. We'll fight. And whoever wins, that's who you serve. So every morning for 40 days, every morning, the Israeli army would get up. They'd get their fighting talk going on. They'd line up across from the Philistine army. Goliath would come out, stand there like some huge giant. And all the soldiers in the Israeli army, including Saul, would turn and run. They'd run away. Well, David comes in when this is all going on. And David says, now David's a kid, right? A shepherd. He goes, who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is? Challenging the armies of the living God. Who does he think he is? Well, his brother was standing there. And he looks at him and he goes, I know who you are, you conceited little creep. You come over here. Where's those few sheep that you're supposed to watch for your father? My point in saying that was I wanted to set up that the family, Jesse's, David's own family, when they looked at him, he did not look like a king. He was a good-looking kid, right? He said he was ruddy, and good-looking. But he was not a king material. He wasn't even up to the shoulders where the other kings were heads above the shoulders. David didn't even get to the shoulders. And plus, he was a kid. He was a shepherd. What's he know, right? All the stuff that's going on, he's out in the woods playing around watching the sheep. So they're like, king who? You know? And so what happens is, we want to show, sooner or later, people show their heart. They do. Life is short, but it's long enough to show your heart. It really is. And so David did. Because David, by no circumstances that he ordained, got sent down where this freaking 9-foot guy was standing there with a big old long spear that could have pierced through about 85 people. And David says, who's this punk think he is? And so the word gets to Saul. He says, Saul, you hear this? This trash-talking kid out here, he's a shepherd. Saul says, bring him here. So David says, king, don't worry. It's no big deal. It's really not. And so Saul's like, look at this kid says, let me tell you something. I watched my father's sheep. He goes, and one time, this is true. It's right in there. I couldn't believe the first time I read it. He says, one time, a lion came and took one of my father's sheep. Now, pause. If I was sitting out in the field and I saw a 2,000-pound lion come and take one of my dad's sheep, I'd be like, glad I'm not the sheep today. What does David do? David took a club. He runs after this. Now, do you know that I had heard, watching a show from a zoo, that a lion or tiger or cat is God-designed perfect killing machine. It's the most perfect killing machine. This man was saying about this from this zoo. A zookeeper, I guess he called him. He said he is a lion or a cat is the most perfect killing machine God made because of their balance, because of their speed and agility, because of their bite, because of their paws. Everything makes that, he qualifies as a perfect killing machine. So here's little David with a club, and he takes off after this lion. Lion's got the sheep in his mouth. He's like, oh, man. And he looks around. Here comes this little punk running after him, right, with a club. Oh, yeah, that's good. So the lion turns around. This is some holy imagination, okay? The lion turns around, sits back and says, okay, bring it on. And David goes up, and it says in there, he grabbed him by the hair. Grabbed him by the hair. Yanked the little sheep out of his mouth and beat him to death. Pow. And later on, when David's talking to King Saul, he says, you know, the God that protected me from the paw of the lion and the bear. It wasn't enough. He did a lion, and he also did a bear. So, but what we're trying to do is we're not trying to glorify David, because David said, the Lord protected me. The Lord gave me this strength. David wasn't fooling around. David knew that if God ain't with you, you ain't nowhere. But if God is with you, you can go to a 2,500 pound lion, grab him by the head, beat him over the head, kill him, take the lamb, and say, "Come on, let's go home, honey." And this is see, what we're looking at is the heart. Okay, we're looking at the heart of a man. We're looking at the heart of a man that nobody else could see. And there's a reason why we're doing this. It's not so we can talk about David and how brave and wonderful he was. That's not the thing. The whole purpose of this today is because I said to God, I said, "God, you got some mighty fine people at that church. Why, God, do you want me to stand up front and talk to all these people? Why, God? You know me, God, and I know me. And I don't rate being here. But God said, I got something to tell." Now, I'm not saying like I heard these words, "John, I have something I want you to tell." That's not it. I felt in my heart, stirred. And here's why. We've come to a crossroads in our church. You see, like King Saul, Pastor Doug is gone. Pastor Doug's gone. He did a good job. I loved the man. He's a father I've never had. But he left, and it was time, and it was good. And his time was good. His service was good. And he was honorable, and he was faithful. That's a hard act to follow. Thing is, that within the next 2 to 3 weeks, I ain't good at counting, but within the next 2 to 3 weeks, there's a man coming. And the whole thing is, we don't know him. Don't know him. But I'll tell you this, what we've seen so far, just his testimony. His testimony states, and as we talked, he loved God. He loves God. Amen. Hallelujah. He loves God. Okay, here's my point, okay? And then we'll go to communion. Point being, David was not known by anybody. He was a shepherd. He sat up in the middle of the field. Nobody knew him. Even his own family. Jesse Bear. Believe that? I got another kid, I forgot about him. He's a shepherd. His brother, when he came to the battle, and with his heart was showing. The other soldiers were showing too, weren't they? As soon as Goliath came out and rattled that spear, they were like, "We're history." David never backed down, but his brother took it as that he was cocky. "You smart punk. Go take care of them little few sheep you got back there, pal." His own brother didn't recognize that God had been instilling heart in this man that the world couldn't see. But God could. And God told Samuel, he says, "Don't judge some tall, good-looking, strapping man. Don't do that. You did it once before, Samuel, remember? Saul," excuse me. He says, God judges the heart. So if God judges the heart, I dare say we need to. But now we come to a problem. Because somebody said to me, "Okay, John, that sounds wonderful. When was the last time you looked at somebody's heart?" Can't. That's exactly right. We can't. So then we have to trust God. We have to trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. So where we fall, where we run, where we mess up, where we don't fit, where we don't cut it, God says, that's all right. That's all right. That's why Jesus died. Let's make that point, okay? Because everybody's here. Maybe somebody don't know Jesus. So you need to. Because he died for you. You know how many hairs on your head? He ain't hiding from you. He's the hounds of heaven, man. He'll find you. And he loves you. So we're going to carve that down. It's church Sunday. We got to say that, right? The other thing is that his wisdom will direct us if we seek him. We got to seek him. So it's going to be coming quick. It's going to be coming quick. I'm not going to stand here and tell nobody how to vote. Because it's going to come down to a vote. That ain't my place. I know how I feel. But I have more vote. But I just want to encourage everybody here. You listen real clear and pray, pray, pray. God, show me. God, show me. God, show me. Because 20-some years ago, Pastor Doug came here. And there was a whole lot of people out there that didn't know him. But by God's grace, God moved in their heart and said, this is the man. This is the man. And 26 years of prosperity at this place. And man, am I a witness? Am I a witness? I came here with a powerful bag of junk. And that man sat and listened to me. That man encouraged me. That man picked me up when I was going down. And it worked really good. It worked so good that I missed the craziness out of him. I really do. But I know it's time to pick it up and move on. So, my point. The man that we choose will be one day, by God's grace, helping some young kid coming through whose world just got turned upside down. And who's basically said to God, on you and your kingdom and your world and everything else about you. I'm living with this. What have you done for my broken heart lately, God? And then that man will be here. And he'll be here because we were faithful. We were faithful. Okay. I guess it's about time for communion. I done talked enough. Tim didn't have to tell me, John, that's it, that's it. Usually in Sunday school, he's got a red flag, you know.